I like a big introduction. Thank you, David. Please do be seated, everyone. So one of the activities I have thrown myself into in this last couple of years, and one which you can give Sabina credit for, because our first meeting was at Victoria Dragon Boat Festival, is dragon boating. I don't know if you knew this. And I kind of have a hankering because this is exactly the time of year where I'm furthest from having finished the season and waiting for the next season of dragon boating. And I love it. It's one of those activities that's exciting, it's challenging, it's fun, and it's great to be a member of a team that's working for a common goal. Bit like church, eh? I'll leave that one with you. It's also a lot like church in that the watchword on race days is always be ready, but be prepared for long gaps between activity. The usual phrase that goes around on race day is hurry up and wait, which is a pretty good summation of church life. A voluntary organization where we marshal the resources that we can, and where it's often hard to get all the bits together, and when we do, there's a kind of flurry of activity. And it certainly feels like that at present in the life of our community, I know. We're trying some different activities, and we decided to launch as much as we could at this time of Advent, the beginning of a new church year. Happy New Year! We have new services. We have a new way of considering our calling to be and to share the light of Christ in our Advent wreath activity taking place at the beginning of the service. And we also have a slightly stalled, admittedly, experiment with our worship space. And when we get some hefty people out, we will be exploring what we're doing on the South Aisle here. So all of this reminds me of my favorite one-liner, which some of you will remember. Don't think it worked very well last time. Let's see if it works this time. I've not used it since Advent Sunday 2013, so it's not one I repeat often. What's the secret of a good joke timing? I'll leave it with you. Timing. Thank you, Aaron. Time. Waiting. It is central as a theme to this season of Advent. We talk a lot about the time of waiting and preparation, which is this four-week run-up to Christmas. And it's an important counterpoint, I think, for many of us, to all the frenetic activity that we throw ourselves into at this time of year. Amidst all of our activity, we're reminded to make time. Time to breathe. Time to reflect. Time to read. Time to pray. Now, I've decided this year I have to get out of the mindset that seems to be a kind of new-ish Christian tradition. It's being called Advent shaming, where pious folk will call out anyone who mentions Christmas before December 26th. It's one of those things that has taken hold. And it's coming across now as a kind of smug superiority that some Christians seem to hold, that I'm really observing Advent and you're not doing it properly. And it's true, Christmas officially begins on December 25th. Every year, it's not one of those dates that's often forgotten. And I encourage us all to take this season as a season of preparation and waiting for the celebration of Christmas. And I encourage us all to do the same. But my observance and our community observance is not something to impose upon others by making them feel bad about the fact that they have Christmas songs on a loop sometime from the end of November. Or they like lights or decorations, or they have lots of activity they throw themselves into to prepare for a great family gathering. Everyone marks this season in their own way. And the celebration of the Christmas season has become much more than the Christian festival upon which it's based, which takes place 4 weeks from now. It is instead a cultural observance, which our wider culture has taken for itself, for better or worse, whatever our opinion about it is. And instead of playing culture wars, which I honestly believe a mature church should be beyond, we have instead an invitation for us to do Advent differently should we wish. An opportunity, not a demand. Just as we invite people into exploring the life of faith, rather than trying to bludgeon them by making them feel condemned, sinful, or unworthy, as some traditions seem to like to do. And part of that invitation to us all is to enter into the themes of Advent, to chew over the scriptures which we're given to read Sunday by Sunday, day by day, if you wish to follow a daily lectionary, for us each to consider the parts of the story and the tradition of Advent of which we are unfamiliar, to consider the themes of waiting which the church has designated in our lead up to the celebration of incarnation, which is Christmas. So I want to look a little more closely at the readings for this week and ask what they might say to us of our Advent walk together. And having used pretty much half of my allotted time just to give an introduction to this bit, these will be brief reflections. And I encourage you to carry on thinking beyond our time together today. Take a copy of the readings. There are some around. Or take your bulletin home and look up the readings for yourself later on. Actually, take the bulletin home anyway. I may have mentioned this once already, because I often get the, I didn't know that was happening. In fact, someone offered to buy me a t-shirt the other day that just says, it's in the bulletin, been in there for weeks. So there's plenty of good stuff in our bulletin every week. We do try and share all of the information we can. And, Soul Space is always worth reading as well. Particularly check out this week the prayer that begins Our Mother, which was helpfully provided by Anne Moon. Which reminds me, if you have something you feel like you'd like to share, do let me have it and I'll edit it or think about it, and it may well end up in Soul Space. But I digress. Our first reading from the second chapter of the book of Isaiah. I'm wary of calling it the book of the prophet Isaiah, because it's the product of at least two different authors, if not a whole school of authors, writing years apart. But that's another digression. But the promise in today's reading seems pretty clear. It's a promise of renewal for the children of Israel, when peace and prosperity will return, particularly to the beleaguered kingdom of Judah. It's one of those passages which gets linked to this ideal of the coming of the kingdom of Shalom, wholeness and well-being, that is also called the kingdom or the reign of God in Christian tradition. And it encapsulates a particular theme of Advent, that of hopeful expectation. But it is not a pie in the sky when we die kind of message. As the last verse of today's passage says, this transformation does not happen by magic, but is brought about by us being active in the changing of the world, as summed up by the simple phrase, O house of Jacob, come let us walk in the light of the Lord. We are not called to just dream it or wait passively for it, but to be it. We are to be the bearers of shalom, of God's way of wholeness and integrity. And this carries on into our second reading for today from the letter to the Romans. Now is the moment for you to wake from sleep. Paul is keen that those who were waiting for the imminent return of Christ in glory which is a whole series of sermons in itself, and I'm not going to go there quite yet. Those who are waiting live out the values of transformation. Now, again, we're reminded whenever we open scripture, we need to know the context. And the context of the Roman church is that it seems a bit of a party church, because they're being told these are the things you need to pay attention to: reveling, drunkenness, debauchery, licentiousness, quarreling, and jealousy, which apart from the last two sound like fun. But these are specifics which Paul is addressing for that community, something we may all need to pay attention to, but they're undergirded with a more important calling: to live as those who have put on Jesus Christ. Those who are surrounded and infused with the life-giving Spirit of God. That's us, folks, called to live and to be differently, in order that in being transformed, we may transform all creation by living out the divine life in justice, in caring for the earth, in love, in faith, in hope, which is another ancient theme in the Advent journey: active waiting, not passive, joining in with the activity of the divine, walking faithfully together with God. And finally, in the poetic and picture language that Jesus, the prophet of the eschaton, the end times, uses, we're given powerful images of the difference between being prepared for the divine transformation of creation or not. It will be like two in the field. One is taken, one is left behind. Like two grinding corn. One is taken, one is left behind. Many, and I know because I grew up in this tradition, take this literally and think in terms of the parousia, the second coming of Christ, where people will actually disappear. I remember a cartoon from my young days with a picture of an old cleric looking at a roof with loads of holes in it. And it says, "The first thing the vicar noticed was that the rapture had ruined a perfectly good church roof." I actually think it's much more metaphorical. It's saying, do not get left behind in the journey of transformation through the divine Spirit. Be open to the divine within and around you. Know the Christ who comes to you in every moment of every day. This continues this Advent theme of active waiting, of active participation in the work of the reign of Christ. Advent calls us again and again back to our roots as people of faith, open to the Spirit to transform us, and in that to transform the world, to be those who incarnate the divine life, just as Jesus did. So I invite you to take the opportunity that Advent gives, to take time and space out of our busyness for depth and reflection, to be expectant for the transformation that is promised to all those open to the divine life, to be hopeful in the midst of all that seeks to distract or drain us of the life that is given us by God. There is a greater goodness. Be active in doing good and careful stewards of the earth. Let us live out the values we proclaim and usher in the reign of shalom, of healing, grace, love, wholeness, and reconciliation. A blessed Advent to you all. Amen.